Guys, welcome back. If you don't recognize my voice, this is still Tavares. Welcome back to the channel. Oh man, so it's just been a roller coaster ride. I can't describe the last few months. But thank you for those that are still rocking with us. We're just gonna dive into this and get to talking. I guess I'll do a little recap. So as you guys may know, maybe this is your first time listening to the episode. We have over 100 episodes talking about dating, purity, marriage, sex, all of the above. But I do want to take the channel to a different direction. No, I'm not going to be like those other podcasters that are, you know, off the hinges. But I do want to take this about all things Christianity. And I say that because I feel as though I can tell you guys how to date and who to date and do all those things. But if we aren't living right, it doesn't matter who we date, the relationship is going to fail. So it's been on my heart for months, even when I tried to relaunch it and school got hectic again. But this podcast, I don't know if I'll change the name, but I'll change the direction. It's just going to be about godly living and not just about dating. Because there are people that are married that need this episode, people that are single, people that are in relationships, and everybody needs, encouragement from the scriptures. Or direction based off things I believe that God placed on my heart for you all. So school has been hectic, but I passed all those classes last semester. I don't know how God did it, but let me tell you, God will do it. Let's give a hand clap for our good God, you know what I mean? Because it wasn't me. In school still, I don't graduate until next year, May, God willing. But I do want to share some things based off what God put on my heart. And as you may have seen on the title of today's episode, I just want to encourage you guys, you know, who may feel as though you've missed out on what God has for you. And for a lot of you, you may be thinking I'm only referring to relationships. But in general, I believe there are a lot of times we get promises from God, or we feel like we hear the voice of God. We feel like we get some type of direction. We feel like God has a certain plan for us, or God, you know, is organizing things to go a certain way in our lives. However, it doesn't necessarily go according to plan. Things don't necessarily seem to be going the way we anticipated it going. So I want to encourage you a little bit, you know, about if you felt as though God, you've missed what God has for you. Because I believe a common question, especially questions that we get via DM, about, am I meant for singleness? Will I ever get married? I prayed for something. I felt like God confirmed it, and then it didn't work out. Like a perfect example, my church recently, we were praying about a specific building. Our pastor even believed that that's where God wanted us. And then when we didn't get that building, I believe that there was many people in the church who may have gotten discouraged. You know, pastor said it was, you know, a bit of a shocker because he felt as though that's where God wanted him. But that doesn't mean God isn't still good. It doesn't mean we don't still worship God or serve God or believe God for greater. That just means what we had in mind didn't work out. And I think a lot of times you guys are in some seasons that don't really seem to make sense. You're in some seasons that seem confusing. Well, I have no options. No one will hire me. My health is acting up. Am I missing something, God? Did I miss out on what you have for me? I think a lot of those questions cross our minds, you know, so I want to talk a little bit about that, you know, but I want you to understand that I don't believe your current season, even if it feels dry, barren, confusing, means that God isn't able to step in. You know, there are times in scriptures where the Bible mentions that God made that woman barren, but after they sought God, he opened the womb, meaning God would allow a dry season. God will allow a frustrating season. God would allow a season that doesn't seem to make sense. And I believe that's honestly because he wants to force us to depend on him. I'm always honest on this podcast, I would like to say, but I genuinely did not feel as though I was seeking God as much as I should have been because of the pressures of nursing school, because I still have a wife, still have children, still have the requirements, you know, that may come from church. And then school, you know, so while other people can just study a couple hours a day, I don't feel like I get a couple hours a day every single day, you know, and then it's so much that I have to do. So I felt like that suffered, but now I'm seeking God. Hey, God, the finals are coming up. God, I need you to step in. You know, isn't that less like how we do? We ignore God until we need him. You know, and I'm preaching to myself, you know, you guys are just along for the ride. But I want us to understand that God wants us to depend on him even when we feel like we have it all figured out. God wants us to depend on him even when we feel as though we don't need him, because we won't admit it. But sometimes we'll behave that way. But I want us to understand that, like I was saying, that God is able to step into a season where we feel as though nothing is working our way, even though we're living for him. Because if you're living in sin, then you can't claim God's blessings. That's not how this works. We can't lay hold on the promises of God while ignoring the principles of God. That's just not how God works. But we see that many women, they claim, you know, I want my Boaz. Where's my Boaz? Praying for my Boaz. But Ruth was a widow before there was a Boaz. So Ruth was in a state of pain, grieving, you know, all of those situations that could make someone bitter against God. Yet she decided to follow Naomi and said, your God will be my God. So she decided, I'll still serve God even in the midst of my chaos, even in the midst of my storm. And I believe that that's what we need to do, because a lot of times when we feel as though we've missed out on what God has for us, we'll stop serving him. Well, God, I didn't get that promotion at work, so what's the point of me going to church? I'm not going to still be a giver. No, I didn't even get hired. What's the point of me giving? And those questions start to play in our mind because we feel as though, what's the point? Because God didn't come through for me. We feel as though God didn't come through when our plans fail. But we have to understand the Bible tells us that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So it's possible that while we are looking at pure confusion, God sees a plan. Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So while there was chaos, while there was void, while there was confusion, while there was nothing, while there was darkness, the Spirit of God moved. So I don't know who right now, because I don't know how many people are even going to listen to this episode, but somebody in their mind feels like it's a lot of confusion, it's a lot of darkness. But a lot of times that's where the Spirit of God moves, in the middle of the chaos. Like what I believe was the prophet Elijah, where the Bible mentions that God spoke in a still small voice. So a lot of times we think God shows up in the middle of all of the big things, but sometimes it's in a little bit of chaos. Sometimes it's in a stillness. Sometimes it's when you least expect him that God shows up with the word. You know, we see in Isaac and Rebekah, because a lot of people, you know, I know y'all want to get married. Isaac and Rebekah in Genesis 25, I believe it's verse 20, that you can find that. But in Genesis 25, it talks about Isaac not getting married until he was 40 years old. And in the middle of that, Isaac was in the middle of grieving his mother. So I believe a lot of times we ask God to provide things for us, and we don't realize that sometimes God allows a little bit of chaos in the middle of his plans. I know that's not what anyone wants to hear, because we want the plan of God. Well, God, I love you. I ain't cursed nobody out this week. I ain't sleep with nobody's spouse this week. God, I've been doing right. I ain't listened to no secular music. God, I ain't been doing nothing that you could probably find a fault in. And we think that just means smooth sailing. But that's just not how God operates. You know, so I want us to understand that God is still for you, even when you don't see him working. Even when you don't feel him working, like Job said, he looked all around, he didn't perceive him. But we have to understand, like Job says, but he knows the way that I take. So even when I don't see him, he sees me. Even when I don't know what God is doing, God knows what he's doing in my life. God knows the plan he has for my life. So we have to understand that. We have to trust God when we don't understand. So the first point I want to make to you guys is this. You're not going to miss God's will if you are in alignment with what he desires. And I want to make that very clear, because there's a lot of people, and bear in mind, none of us are perfect. Anybody who knows me personally knows that for sure. Even if you don't know me personally, I'm sure you probably got that by now, but none of us are perfect. But I want you to understand that we can't blatantly live contrary to the word of God and still get the promises of God fulfilled in our lives, still claim his blessings. And like, that's not how God works. God is a God of principles. He's very merciful. He's very gracious. all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but God has never given us a license to continue in that sin. So if you're a person who feels as though everywhere I turn, I'm out of place because I'm the only person single, whether it be social media, everybody's getting engaged, everybody's getting married. You feel pressured at school, everybody's dating. You feel pressured at work. People keep asking you about, people keep talking about their families and they're asking, hey, are you seeing anyone? You may feel that pressure from your family. You may feel that way. You know, you may be a person who started a business. You may feel as though everybody's business seems to be flourishing. I'm the only person that can't make six figures. I can barely make three figures with my business. You might be that person. You may be that person who felt called to start a ministry. And I don't know why a lot of people look at godly dating and see all the followers and think that's the standard. That's not the standard. Jesus had 5,000 people following him and decided to preach a message that he knew would be controversial. And yet, when all 5,000 left and only the disciples stayed, he didn't chase after anyone. But some of you started a ministry. Maybe it was an online ministry. You're just encouraging ladies. You're just encouraging the fellas. You're encouraging whoever. And you can't get 12 followers and you're frustrated because, and now you're feeling like God didn't call me to do this. So you're mad at God and frustrated with yourself because you want more followers than Jesus did. It's the way how illogical we can be at times, absolutely absurd. But I want us to see that the problem with these circumstances is that we're feeling out of place because we're comparing ourselves. The Bible says in Corinthians not to compare yourselves because the people who do that, they aren't wise. Because when you're comparing yourself, you're always going to end up in jealousy or a form of envy, a form of pride. But the Bible tells us we need to look to Jesus because he's the one who affirms us. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus didn't need validation from any person after that voice from heaven said that. If God says over your life, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter in whom I'm pleased, it doesn't matter who's displeased with you. It doesn't matter who endorses you. It doesn't matter who supports your ministry. It doesn't matter who buys your book or listens to your podcast or supports your business, or it doesn't matter who does any of the, it doesn't matter who wants to date you. It doesn't matter who doesn't want to date you, because this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. And you're not missing out on anything if God is pleased with you. And I believe it's impossible to be grateful where God has you if you're constantly looking at what somebody else has. If we're constantly telling ourselves, man, that person's already dating. Man, I wish that was me. If that's the way you look at relationships, you aren't even ready, because you're looking at it from the perspective of, if they have one, I need one. Man, that person is making this amount of money, man. I just wish I was making more. That means you're not a good steward of what you have, because you don't sound thankful. You sound like you're envious of what someone else has. And I want us to understand, we're not missing out on what God has for us. When I was looking into this verse, I want you guys to see something I found out when I was looking into this verse in devotion. Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. All of you who read other translations, I'm sorry, Psalm 27, 14. But the Bible tells us to wait on the Lord. And a lot of times we hear that said, we see the cute quotes on social media, we hear all these things, but how many of us really understand what it means? Because in our mindset, it's completely different from what the Hebrew word was actually saying. So wait translated over into meaning to bind together and to expect. So waiting on God isn't something that's passive. I believe that how you wait is more important than how long you're waiting.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Because we're binding together. When the Bible tells me to wait on the Lord, I'm binding together with his plan. Even if I don't know what his plan is, I'm waiting on you, because I believe that fully, whatever it is that you have planned, I'm going to expect that to be better than what I could have done for myself. So it's not just, well, God, whatever miracle. No, but you're going alongside God and you're seeking him and you're trusting him and you're trying to figure out whatever it is. You're desperate for his will more than your own. So I believe when you're waiting on a spouse, you're not just sitting there, well, God, well, you're going to knock on my door any day now. No, because then you'll be 80 and saying you're still waiting on God's plan. Obviously, that's not what I'm saying. But waiting on a spouse, it's not just about sitting there saying, God, work a miracle, but it's about asking God, what do I do? How do I bind together by when you're waiting on the Lord? How do I bind together and prepare myself for what it is that you have for me? Because a lot of you feel as though God, you've missed God's will, but no, you're missing God's current plan for your life. God wants to bind together with you to prepare you for what you're trying to get, to prepare you for what you've been praying for. So instead of asking God, how long do I have to wait? Ask him, what do I need to do while waiting? That's the better plan. Because we see, and this verse is talking about salvation. And, they were obviously mocking because it's like saying, well, Jesus is coming back. And they're like, you guys been saying that forever. And now I know a lot of people criticize us believers for even thinking that now. But 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. So we have to understand that the reason Jesus hasn't returned already is only because he's waiting on us. He's waiting on more people to get opportunity to be saved. Not because he doesn't want to come back. There's no way God wants to see his church, his bride, deal with the confusion and the chaos of today's world, but he wants to deliver people. So I want us to see that the same way God is being patient, God is asking us to be patient. There are people who had to wait. Abraham, he had to wait on a son. Many years. You mean to tell me I have to wait over 20 years for a promise from God? Like, dude, you're God. You can do this in the next 20 seconds. And yet he had to wait over 20 years to get Isaac. Jacob had to wait on Rachel. He decided to work 7 years and agreed to the deal, and he got played and decided to work again. And the Bible made it clear to us that those years felt like days because of how much he loved her. Joseph in the prison, you get the vision that people are going to bow to you, that you're going to be a leader. But he didn't get a vision of prison. He had to go through a pit. He had to go through a prison. He had to go through the bondage, all for God to elevate him. So you feel as though you're going to miss God's will. You feel as though now I'm in my pit. Now I'm in the prison. Now I'm in Potiphar's house. God, I'm everywhere but where your promise showed me. And God is saying all of that is a setup for where I'm taking you. So I want us to understand that God is not slow concerning his promises. God has not forgotten you. If you're walking in God's will, God will work it out. We even see that with David. He was anointed to be king, but there was a Goliath even before that point. Saul was still in position at that point. So just because you're anointed to do something doesn't mean now is your current season. Just because God wants you married at some point doesn't mean today is your time. Just because God is going to place you with a great job doesn't mean today you ain't going to struggle or you might not have to ever flip burgers. Like, it's a part of life. Even Jesus waited before he went public with his ministry, over 30 years. So I want us to understand that if you do have a connection to God, because I'm saying this from a point, not that you attend church. I'm not saying this from the point that you show up when you feel like it, you serve God when you feel like it. I'm not saying this from the perspective of that, all it takes is say a sinner's prayer and everything's going to work out. There isn't even a sinner's prayer in the Bible. But I'm saying this, that if you have a connection to God, it doesn't matter how the circumstance looks. Because the Bible tells us in the word of a king, there is power. When a king says something, it's going to happen. So how much greater, the King of Kings, how much greater when it's God saying that, who speaks those things which be not as though they are? Meaning God can say the sky is orange. And it doesn't matter how long or how many years you've seen blue. If God says that, the sky is a different color right now. So I need us to understand that God is bigger than the circumstance. If you have a promise, you can be able to dance before you see it. You can shout before you see it. And that's the reason why I believe God is disappointed when we go to church. And we go to church and we don't praise God because we're frustrated. Because everyone is, God gave us emotions. Everyone is allowed to be frustrated. But if you're telling God, I'll only serve you when I'm happy, it's like your view of God is too small, because clearly you don't realize that we're praising him for who he is, praising him for things we've seen him do. We're not just praising him based off, oh, I got to be, everything got to go well in my life. And it's like, no, God is saying, have you not realized that I'm the one who put breath in your lungs? That's why the Bible tells us, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, because God is the one that is worthy of praise despite how everything looks. We see, I told you guys a little bit about Abraham having to wait, but this is something that God said to Abraham, Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So God tells Abram that he's his reward. He shows him that whatever he needs is going to be in him. This is before the child gets here. He shows him that all of the blessings will come from him. So before there was Isaac, there was already a promise. Before the baby was in the womb, there was a promise in Abram's spirit. We have to get to the point that we know who our God is when our situation doesn't show it. When we don't understand what God is saying or what God is doing, we have to realize that I don't need to know what God is doing. I know who God is, you know, but it doesn't matter how bad it looks, because I know when God steps in, my situation has to change. You know, my brothers, Draylen Young and EJ Latouche, they have a song. I don't know if it's out yet, but it's called When God Shows Up. But it's like, it says my situation has to change. Every curse that was spoken is already broken, because when God shows up, you know, I'm going to have to put a plug in there, you know, when it comes out. But I want you to understand that it doesn't matter how the situation looks. So we see when you jump forward in Romans chapter 4, verse 19 through 21, it says, and Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Instead of questioning God's plan, we need to know God is bigger than our circumstance. So the Bible tells us that Abraham, he felt like stuff wasn't functioning the way it should have. You know, God, I'm almost 100. If you told me this at 20 and 30, me and my wife could, you know, go in the back and take care of some business. But now at 100, the drive isn't as great. Things aren't flowing. Blood isn't going places that I could used to. I don't have the energy for all these things that I used to have. But when God said it, God gave life to the situation that he thought was dead. So that's what I need us to understand, that if you feel as though you've missed God's plan, you have to realize that God will take care of his plan with or without you. God is a miracle worker. He'll work it out. So this is the type of person that brings God glory, where the Bible shows us that Abraham's faith did not weaken. He did not lose faith, even when he didn't see it. So I don't know what it is that you're waiting on God for right now, but can God count on you to not lose faith? I believe it's in Luke 18, where God is telling us about men should always pray and not faint. And it says, you know, Jesus gives the parable, but at the same time, he ends the parable by saying, I believe it's Luke 18:1-8. And he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? Because it's easy to be frustrated and lose faith when things don't work out. But when God does show up, will he see that you still had faith in his plan? That's the real question. And that's what I believe God wants to know when he checks us out. One thing we really need to know about kids is how creative they are. When I was a child, I loved, you know, putting hands on with things. That was a way for me to learn quickly. And I really believe that's the way my son learns. But when I was a kid, you know, I'd be happy with like the treehouse we had in the backyard, or building stuff with my dad. And KiwiCo, who thankfully is sponsoring this episode, they believe that every kid is naturally creative and curious, and that hands-on experiences build creative confidence. And this is something I'm getting from my son. So he's turning 5. Surprising him, we have something coming in from KiwiCo, so I'm not recommending anything that I wouldn't be using for our children as well. But this is created by, you know, people that are experts in these areas with creating different fun activities to get kids learning, because with a kid starting school, you want to make sure that they're being highly engaged. So mine is going to be just building a little project, whereas probably building dinosaurs since that's his favorite. But if you are a parent or you have a younger brother, your younger sister, whether it's in your house or at church, it is very important that you make sure that you get them hands-on projects away from their cell phones, because it stimulates their mind in order to grow as, you know, as individuals, create the, you know, different creative juices, get that flowing in their minds. So that's something I definitely recommend. I'm going to hit you guys back soon and let you know the results of when Zion gets this for his birthday gift. But my desire for you all is to redefine learning with play. Explore hands-on projects that build creative confidence with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line at kiwico.com/godly. That's 50% off your first month at kiwico.com/godly. And the last thing I want to mention, and hopefully this doesn't seem like I'm contradicting myself, because I get this part may frustrate it. Frustrate a little bit of people, but I want us to understand, I believe God's love is unconditional, but I believe some blessings are not. I believe some blessings are based on us. So yes, God is going to love you. God is going to bless you. The Bible says he makes it to rain on the just and the unjust. God is going to open doors. But I believe that there are some things that God is not going to do unless you move your feet. God opened a door, and God opens the door wide, and you don't walk through it. You want God to pick you up and put you through the door? I believe that there are some things that God wants to do in our life that requires us to be on board with his plan. So if you're a person and you're praying for a husband, for the ladies that listen so far in this episode, you're praying for a husband, but you're rude to every man you meet. I don't know, sis. You may have pushed away the very thing you've been praying about. I don't think that's smart. You can't be praying for a blessing. Brothers, you're praying for this wife. You're praying for this blessing. But you not pray for the behavior to steward it. If I'm going to ask God to provide me that spouse, I need to ask him to provide me the self-control to protect her purity and my own. That's something we all need to do. I can't be praying for this and then not pray for the character to sustain it. And that's part of our biggest problems. God is blessing us with things and we don't have the character to sustain it. The Bible tells us in Psalm 84, verse 11, "For the Lord God is our sun and shield, and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right." So I want us to... Whether you want to think that's Tavares translation or not, Psalm 84 and 11, it says God is not going to withhold a good thing from somebody who is walking uprightly. Meaning, if you are not walking the way God wants you to walk, he may withhold some things from you. So yes, he loves you, but there's just some things he can't do because he wants your character to align with what he wants to do in your life. There have been plenty of times where my character has been trash. Integrity has been trash. God is working on me. I'm not saying this to bash anybody who feels as though, man, why Tavares coming so hard? Nah, bro, that's just the way I am. You know what I mean? I'm a straight shooter. But there are some things God wants us to do as we align ourselves with him. You cannot align with society and then think the Holy Spirit is going to bless you. No, you cannot align with culture. You have to align with the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And I don't want you to get the wrong impression. This is not a, if I live right, God will give me a spouse. Yay. No, God is not a genie that you can manipulate. But God is a God of holiness, meaning he doesn't associate with sin. So in order to enter into God's presence, we have to ask God to wash us, cleanse us, allow him to sanctify us. Because being saved is something that can happen in a moment, but the continual process of sanctification and deliverance and freedom, and holiness, purity, righteousness, it is always ongoing. So if God desires to bless you with a spouse, hey, it'll happen. If God thinks you ain't ready for one, bruh, just go ahead and seek God and take a cold shower. But I appreciate you guys being patient with me. It's my goal to get back doing weekly episodes. As long as school is lightened a load, it'll be great. And now that I'm trying to take the transition and not just talking about dating, but talking about all things biblical and serving God, it should be much, much easier to allow my devotion to bleed out into the podcast. So guys, I appreciate you. For those who don't know, or you're new to the channel, Godly Dating 101 book. We released a book last year, September. I would love if you buy one, buy multiple, give one to a friend, leave a review. Love you guys, and I'll see you next week, Thursday. In Jesus' name, peace.